John 21 and verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples doth ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And as we come to these words tonight, Come and dine. The title is this, Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. It is so important that we spend time with him. How much we need him each and every day. The world is such a difficult place. We face many afflictions. The devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There is sin within. How much we need to spend time with Jesus. Come and dine. Dear congregation in heaven and the heavenly world, after the last day, the believer will enjoy rich fellowship with the Lord. Preparations are being made. There is well-known words in John 14, verse 3, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I go and prepare a place. He's preparing it now by his presence. He's preparing it by his continual intercession. We think of the preparations of the Lord. Therefore, what bliss, what joy we shall know in heaven and in the heavenly world after that great day in the presence of Jesus. How amazing is the grace of God. How glorious is the gospel. How wonderful is my Saviour. That all this is made possible. Oh, what awaits the believer. What fellowship, what times of supping and dining with Christ we will enjoy in heaven. No wonder the apostle wrote in Philippians 1 verse 23, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He is the source of my life. He is the object of my life. And to die is gain. How can the believer say that? Because we think of the valley, and it's not easy. And we think of death. How can a believer say that? How could the apostle say it? To die is gain. Well, it will be. Because we will say goodbye to sin. We will say goodbye to sorrow. And then we will see our Saviour And what bliss and joy we will know in his immediate presence. Now the believer will enjoy such fellowship with him, and there will be no indwelling sin or trial to mar the sweetness. But here below, there is many affliction. There is indwelling sin that can mar things. But oh, to spend sweet times of fellowship with Jesus. And such times can be known. Jesus says here in verse 12 to his disciples and says to us, come and dine. Spend time with Jesus. Now on this occasion, after the resurrection of Christ, our Lord appeared to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. We learn that in verse 1. And he made himself known through the draught of fishes. It wasn't to them, was it? Until there was this miracle performed, as we note in verse 6, then they knew him. It was the Lord. Notice verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now let's just note a little more context. In verse 3 we read, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They were experienced fishermen. They knew how to fish, not like me. They knew how to fish. And they spent that long night, but they caught nothing. And we're reminded, are we not, in other passages, as we see in Luke chapter 5, there can be long nights and nothing is caught. And God's servants, they can sow, they can preach the gospel, but there's nothing. Yes, they're helped and supported, but oh, there's nothing for all the hard work, for many a night. God's servants, ministers of the gospel, missionaries of the cross, can be working hard for nothing. Working hard for nothing. Yes, it's for God's glory, and there is blessing in serving, but they can be working hard for nothing. Notice verse 3, and that night they caught nothing. And often seasons can be like that, particularly in these days in this country. Well, they caught nothing. We come to verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They didn't recognize him. On this particular occasion, our Lord had appeared to them, but they didn't recognize him. Remember Mary on the day of resurrection, she didn't recognize the Lord. She thought him to be the gardener. Those two on the way to Emmaus, a stranger, they thought the Lord to be. They didn't recognize him. And we learn there are times that the believer may not recognize Christ in their life. He's there, but they don't recognize him. They don't grasp him. He's there for us in affliction. Isaiah 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I am with you. But sometimes we don't recognize him, do we? We don't recognize the Lord is there. We struggle to look up. We struggle to focus. Oh, these disciples, they didn't recognize the Lord. And there's times we don't recognize him. There's times when we don't sense him. Song of Solomon chapter 3. There's the church, there's the believer longing for Christ. Where is he? It wasn't until they found him that they know that joy. I held him and would not let him go. They didn't recognize him. We're coming on to verse 5. We read, and Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Precious are those times when we then recognize Jesus. He was there, our beloved Saviour, but we were struggling. Maybe we had a long night and we were weary. That was the case for the disciples, finding it hard to focus. But then we focus It's the Lord, he's speaking to me through the word. We read in verse 8 and verse 9 that the other disciples came in a little ship. And then we read verse 9, as soon and then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Spend time with Jesus. For the remainder of the time, I'd like us to consider, first of all, the preparation. There's a time of dining to be had with Jesus, but let's consider, first of all, the preparation. Secondly, the invitation. Thirdly, the meal. And if time permits, the respect. The respect the disciples had for Jesus. The preparation, the invitation, the meal, the respect. First of all, the preparation. Jesus says, come and dine. And there was a meal already prepared for them. The meal was ready. The Lord had provided from his own means. Now come with me to verse 9. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. There was a fire going, and fish and bread were laid on. The Lord had made preparation. See, he had a care of Christ. He was concerned for his disciples. And so he makes a fire, and he puts fish and bread thereon. The preparation. Well, let's open this up a little. There is provision because the Lord has provided. And this provision is through Jesus. We consider in the gospel there is provision because of him. He's the bread from heaven. John 6, verse 35, our Lord said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The bread of life. He is the bread of life. There's life in and through him. We think of bread. It speaks of provision, food, and one has life. Oh, consider Christ. There is life through him. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. To go to Jesus plainly, as our Lord teaches, is to believe. Have you gone? Have you believed in him? He is the bread of life. He is the provision. Oh, life. John 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He came. There was preparation so that there would be an abundant life through him. And what an abundant life the believer has. He is the Lamb of God. Through him there was provision and the preparation was made. Remember what we read in John 1 verse 36. Behold the Lamb of God. God's Lamb. Provision. And so the preparation was made for all who believe. Let's think a little further of the gospel feast. We've already touched on it, but think of the gospel feast as a whole. Matthew 22, verse 4, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. You see, the preparation had been made. And then the invitation, come to the marriage. God the Father made preparation, and so has Jesus the Son. Preparation for all who believe. Think of the fish and the bread. He had prepared a meal. Oh, what has been prepared in the gospel. Oh, what has been prepared through Jesus Christ. But let's go a little further as we think of the preparation here, the provision that was made. There was temporal provision. Our Lord had made a fire, fish and bread were laid thereon. It was food for the disciples. And for the believer, we can trace the hand of the Lord that he provides in a temporal way according to our blessed Redeemer. Philippians 4, verse 19. Food for the body. But now let's particularly consider food for the soul. The words he has given, he has spoken. And there is the receiving. The Lord spake. The Lord gave the word. There's the preparation. And there's the receiving. Consider further, there are certain things he gives to help us. His help is there, ready. Through his finished work, certain things are ready for us. Remember again those words, that they might have it more abundantly. That is a life. And you think of the believer's life, there's support, there's provision, there's health, there's strength. But because of Christ, the preparation made through him, things are ready to help the believer in their life. Let's think on this. First of all, grace, strength flowing from him because of what he has done. He accomplished redemption so that you might know more grace, strength from him. John 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me ye can do nothing. Oh, consider, he has made all things ready through his finished work, and there he is able to help you then and strengthen you. What did the apostle say? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You think of the food here, the fish and the bread. As we will consider in a moment, it was to strengthen the disciples. But because of Christ and what he did, all things are ready. He's able to strengthen you. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If he had not accomplished redemption, he would not be able to strengthen you. Oh, what preparation has been made. And then further, there's comfort ready for you. And you need comfort, don't you? John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you. And you think of the preparation. He made peace with God. He's mindful of that. And because he made peace with God, there can be peace in your soul. The preparation has been completed. And he's ready to comfort you, to bring you peace. Think of healing. John 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me. Our Lord was sent on a mission of mercy. And through what he did, the preparation was made. And then comes healing for those who look to him and those who love him as well. He came and through his finished work, broken hearts can be healed. You see the preparation? That was necessary, and therefore broken hearts can be healed. In the believer's life, one can feel crushed by sin with his healing. The believer can be broken in affliction, but there's healing at hand because Christ came to heal the broken hearted. And then consider further, he has prepared things for your fellowship with him. He accomplished redemption that you would enjoy fellowship with him. You think an effectual calling, he draws near, and a believer can say, Christ liveth in me. There's fellowship. Because of Calvary, there is fellowship. The work he did at Calvary means you, dear child of God, know fellowship with him. He made preparation for fellowship. And their love is ready to continue its way to you. There is his voice ready to speak to you. There is his listening ear ready to hear. There is his heart of compassion ready to sympathize. The preparation has been made through his finished work. And these things are there ready for you. We've known much so far, but there's more. There will always be more. His heart of compassion is ready to sympathize. Hebrews 4 verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. He's touched. Compassion is ready at hand, and he will be touched then when you're in affliction. There's no delay. He's touched at the very moment you begin to be affected by sorrow, because he's made the preparation. He's ready. Provision here. But before we move on, consider again the fire. Verse 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a coal of fires there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. We're thinking of the preparation. There was the food. But let's not overlook the fire. Now you may say to me, well, the fire was for the cooking of the food. Yes. But it was also to be a benefit further to the disciples. It had been a long night, and they were cold, and they were weary. They'd been out on the sea. Here was a fire, not only to cook the food, but to warm them. And there is this blessing of warmth through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Matthew Henry. When they came to land, wet and cold, weary and hungry, they found a good fire to warm them and dry them. I remember in the winter time, in my first employment, coming home, used to cycle from Hilliers, the other side of Romsey, some evenings, not every evening. My father used to take pity on me. But some evenings I would cycle, and I remember getting wet. I would come in and my mother had a fire burn, a coal fire. I would take off my coat and I would go in and sit in front of the fire. The disciples, they were cold, weary, tired. There was a fire burning to warm them. The other day I went to a home in Welton and there was this lovely fire roaring away. But the Lord had a fire burning to be a benefit to his disciples. I just think, he made the fire. He stoked up the fire. There was preparation. It had to be a certain temperature to cook the fish and the bread. He made preparation. But the Lord has made preparation to help you when you feel weary, tired, and cold. There are times when the believer feels like they've been out in the cold and in the dark. And it's not easy, yet. One can be struggling. You think of the cold. It can leave your fingers numb. I recall having snowball fights at school. We weren't sent home. We just enjoyed ourselves at the school. We had longer breaks to skate on the playground where the teacher used to tip a bucket of water over the playground. And snowball fights. It was fun, but all your fingers got numb. And we can feel at times numbness. The numbness in our hearts and in our minds. It's not easy. We struggle. You think when you've been working hard and you're just exhausted. Think of the disciples. They've been out all night, caught nothing. Exhausted, struggling, discouraged, experienced fishermen. They caught nothing. But there was a place of warmth. There was a fire going. And there is a place of warmth for you, dear child of God. You may feel you're in the cold, in the dark, and it's not easy. You feel numb in the mind. You struggle. What am I to think about this? There's a place of warmth prepared. A place you can turn to. Turn with me, Ephesians 5, verse 29. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We think of what one does. And we think of what the Lord does to the church. He nourisheth and cherisheth it. What does the word cherish mean? Literally from the Greek, to warm, to brood, to foster. You think of a hen and the little chicks under the wings for protection, but also for warmth. There's a place of warmth for you. That's near the heart of Christ. Oh, you consider how a husband embraces his wife to comfort her, to show his love. And consider Christ, his arms are there to embrace in a spiritual way, to show nearness and to bring warmth, spiritual warmth in Christ for the soul. There's a place of warmth near the heart of Christ. We feel cold, numb at times. We're struggling, aren't we? Downcast, we may be anxious. But he's provided a place of warmth in him through himself, and he comes and he embraces us. He's warm in his love. He's warm in his grace. He's warm in his pity. Dear child of God, he came with such warmth in his heart into this world. He made preparation. And he came to you in effectual calling with such warmth in his heart. And he keeps coming, doesn't he? With such warmth in his heart. And we feel a little of that warmth. We feel it within. He speaks to us. And we know that uplifting and that warming of the soul. Remember the road to Emmaus? They were sad on the Lord's Day. And there can be days, Lord's days, when we're so sad. We come to rejoice in the Lord. We come to worship him, but we can be so sad because of some sorrow and affliction. You think of those disciples. The Lord knew that they were sad. The Lord knows if you're sad. Well, those disciples, they were sad. He came and he opened up the scriptures. They didn't recognize him to begin with. But something was going on in their soul. More and more. And greater heat was arising. So what did they say after our Lord departed? Did not our heart burn within us? You see, Christ, he came with such warmth in his heart and lips to speak to them that they would know warmth in their hearts. There's a place of warmth for you. All is ready. Oh, to Jesus, make your way. The fire was going there. And there was food, provision. Our Lord had made this preparation for his disciples. And he has prepared things for you, dear child of God. We'll move to consider secondly the invitation. Come and dine. He had made preparation. The meal was ready. Come and dine. Here's the invitation. You need this provision. You need the help that I have to offer you. You come and dine. You've been out all night. Come and dine. You're weary. Come and dine. You're cold. Come and dine. Close to the fire. Come and dine. And the Lord said it to us. Come and dine. You need a meal. You need my word each and every day. Come and dine. You need comfort, so come and dine. You need warmth. We know it. He knows it. Come and dine. My heart is warm. Come and dine. You need fellowship with me. Come and dine. Jesus says to you, come and dine. Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Come and dine. We consider it an initial way, but then also in subsequent times for the believer. Come and dine. Sup with me. Don't refuse him. Song of Solomon 5, verse 10. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, how should I put it on? I have washed my feet, how should I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hall of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Don't refuse him. Yet sadly at times we do. And the Lord withdraws just to a little distance, not totally, of course. He's always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, but just to a little distance to teach us what we're missing and to make us long more for fellowship with him and to see our need of it. Don't refuse him. Come and dine. You may say, I'm struggling. I can hardly make my way to thee. Jesus says, come and dine. You may say, I'm so numb. I find it hard even to pray. Come and dine, says Jesus. He knows you're weary. He knows you're tired. Has it been a long night? Come and dine. Come and dine. First of all, come in your weariness. Come and dine. Are you weary? Are you tired? Come and dine, says Jesus. Secondly, come, you're feeling the cold. Thirdly, come, broken-hearted. Your heart broken. Jesus says, come and dine. You may say, I'm so broken, how could I really entertain Christ? He says to me, let me hear thy voice, but my heart is so broken, what can I say to him? Jesus says, come and dine. Fourthly, come with your struggles. Don't try to hide your struggles from Jesus. Don't pretend. We can't anyway, can we? Come with your struggles. Come and dine. Come with your tears. You don't have to wipe away your tears to go to Jesus for fellowship. Come with your tears. Sickly, come with your fears. You fearful. Come and dine, says Jesus. You fearful of the future. What's going to happen this week? What's going to happen on the morrow? Jesus says, come and dine with me. Seventhly, come in your weakness. You're weary, but here, you feel your weakness. Come and dine. And you know, when we feel our weakness, and we make our way to Jesus through his help, that's part of growth, isn't it? We go to Jesus because we know we're so weak and we need him. It's the way to growth, isn't it? He will provide. Come and dine. That's what he says to you. That's what he says to me. Let us consider as we draw to a close, thirdly, the meal. Come and dine. And none of the disciples does ask him, who art thou, knowing that he was the Lord? Come and dine. There are times of dining with Jesus. Now here a meal was enjoyed, fish and bread. There's times when we enjoy fellowship with him. Revelation 3 verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's times with Jesus, supping with Jesus. He sups with us and we with him. It's mutual, isn't it? Let me hear thy voice, says Jesus. And we entertain Christ. And he entertains us. And how he entertains us. Oh, this dining with him. Delightful, precious fellowship with Jesus. That's the meal. That's the fellowship, isn't it? That's the dining. He provides rich fellowship in times of worship. He provides rich provision in his word. There is the quiet, still voice that comes to us through his word that comforts and strengthens us. You think of food. To strengthen us, but also to comfort us. We hear of something called comfort eating, don't we? Sometimes I eat a bit too much because I need a bit more comfort. Comfort eating. But there is comfort at times, isn't there? In eating certain things. Let's acknowledge that. We know that. Sometimes we can be upset and we go and get something we like. Maybe it not be so good for us, but it does us good, doesn't it? It brings comfort. Well, through his word, there is comfort and strength. There's food to comfort us and food to strengthen us from the lips of Christ. I often have porridge at this time of the year, made in the English way. I've been in Scotland a few times this year, as you know, and they make porridge with salt. Well, that doesn't bring me much comfort. So I put in lots of golden syrup, sugar in porridge. That brings comfort in the winter mornings, doesn't it? But also strengthening porridge, gives you strength, slow release, we're told. What a blessing to know comfort and strength through the word. Then there's the blessings around the table, the means of grace, as we think of our Saviour. Oh, what fellowship we have known. Come and dine, there's a meal. Consider him, he is the bread of life. Feast on him. Feast on his love. Oh, think of his love to you. Think how great is his love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. We can think of those who laid down their lives in times of war and in other situations. Oh, consider Calvary. What love. Feast on his love. He so loves you. Others may not love you. Others may love you with a little love. Jesus loves you with such a great love. You feast on his love. Feast on his grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace, such kindness, favour. Feast on his grace. On his mercy. On his compassion. There's a tasting, isn't there? As we think of a meal. Psalm 34 verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. This tasting and seeing, have you tasted? Oh, to taste more. When we think of this tasting, it is to have experimental knowledge of the Lord. A discernment with him. You take a piece of food and you taste it. You know what it's like, don't you? An experimental knowledge of Jesus. Oh, to know him more, to fill him within. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's good, isn't he? He's gracious, as we read in the New Testament. He's so good. Taste, enjoy fellowship with him. He is so good. He's so gracious. He's altogether lovely. He's so kind, so faithful, and so understanding, so compassionate. Will you go to him when he says, come and dine? To dine more on him in a spiritual way, to taste more of his love, more of his kindness, more of his understanding and compassion. There's enjoyment. Are you tasting? And we need to listen to Jesus because we need him. We need food each and every day, don't we? We need Jesus each and every day. Oh, to spend time with him. In this world, we need the shepherd to lead us and feed us, to lead us to green pastures, Psalm 23. We need him, don't we? That we might know food for the soul and times of rest. Come and dine, says Christ. I am the good shepherd. I will lead you to the green pasture and to the still waters. We often know the valleys where there is the water flowing, as we read at the root of the Hebrew word. We often go through the valleys, but he brings us to the still waters that we might know refreshment. Come and dine, says Christ. Now the green pastures and the still waters, where are they? They're in this world, as we make our way to heaven. But there are the oases, there are the times of blessing and feeding and refreshment. Jesus says, come and dine. The shepherd says, come and dine. Isaiah 40 verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He feeds us, doesn't he? Through his word. Round the table in a spiritual way. Come and dine. Well, as we close, we'll be very brief. In conclusion, consider the respect of the disciples to Jesus and his invitation. Verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And just these words, and none of the disciples doth ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now we notice what that disciple said unto Peter in verse 7. It is the Lord. There was a recognition. But Jesus says in verse 12, come and dine. And none of the disciples now ask him, who art thou? They knew who it was, and there was this respect in their hearts. For Jesus comes to them. They have this respect. They hadn't recognized him. But oh, now they know it's the Lord, and what he's done for them, what care he has had for them. He's made a fire to warm them, and there's food for them to eat. They're in awe of him. Come and dine, says Christ. Are we in awe of him? Who are we that he should invite us? Who are we that we were invited in the gospel, and now to enjoy more fellowship with him? Who are we? Notice verse 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them. Here's the disciples, they're there. They're in awe of him. Jesus comes. And those who have a respect for Jesus, he will come. And he will provide. He will bless them. He came. Taketh bread and giveth them. That's amazing, isn't it? He provided, he made the preparation for a meal and for them to be warmed. And now he comes and he gives to them. He gives, oh, they're in respect of him. What a saviour. What he's done for me. What he's done for them. And now he's come. Jesus comes. Are you in awe of him that he comes? You need him. He invites you. Come and dine. He comes. And he gives to you. He gives what you need, comfort and strength through the provision which he has. He has the fire going, and he stokes it up, as it were, that you might know more of him. His heart is so warm. Come and dine. The disciples were in awe of him. What a saviour he is. Come and dine. And what does he do? He comes and he gives you what you need, and you know that dining with him. Gracious words in the lips of Jesus. Come and dine. Are you in respect of him? Are you listening to Jesus? Are you ready to receive from him? Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. O gracious God, we are in awe of thee, Lord Jesus. Who art thou? Thou hast made all things ready. Thy heart is so warm already for us. O Lord, come. And may we make our way to thee, and may we know that in sweet fellowship with thee, Lord Jesus. Lord, keep telling us to come and dine, because at times we don't listen. At other times we struggle, and we're so dumb because of the cold, dark night of affliction. Come and tell us, Lord. Come and dine. We need such times, and let us know that such times are good for our soul. Say it again to us, Lord. Come and dine. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our final praise, the second version of Psalm 45. Psalm 45, and we're going